Welcome back to the Border Patrol live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right now, we're very happy to be joined by the leader in touchdown passes right now in the nation in college football, Drew Locke from the Missouri Tigers. Drew, good morning. How are you?
You know, I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Doing great. Now, how does that sound when someone says that you're leading the nation in touchdown passes? Because that is a true statement.
Yeah, no, that's something pretty cool to me. You think about, you know, when you're in high school, you're thinking, all right, I want to get a Division I offer and I want to go play, you know, college football. And then when you get to college, you're like, dang, I really want to start. Nothing throughout of my mind was thinking, you know, one day I want to be leading the nation in touchdown passes. So be able to sit here and say that, it's a pretty cool thing.
I know that your number one goal is to win games, but also you've got a couple of really neat things in front of you that could possibly happen on Friday. Chase Daniel has the team record with 39 touchdown passes, and then Andre Woodson has the SEC record with 40 touchdown passes. So you're right there. How important is that to you for you to break those records?
Yeah, no, that's something that is important to me, but it definitely falls behind winning this game this weekend or on Friday. But to be able to do that would be huge for me. I think Chase has been an idol of mine since I've been growing up, going to Mizzou games, watching him play, knowing him as one of the greatest ever play here at Mizzou. To be able to, you know, put myself in the category with him is just something that, like I said earlier, just something I've never really thought about. But, you know, it's here. It's going to happen. But my first priority is obviously getting this win.
Have you talked to him at all, like, about this record? Does that I don't know what your communication is like with him.
Yeah, no, we're both pretty busy guys. I'm sure he's a little busier than I am at this point right now. But we did have a chance to throw this summer together, which is really cool. Talked to him a lot. He's an awesome guy. It was a really neat experience since I've been here.
All right, Drew. So you've seen a couple of situations in the SEC where coaches have lost their jobs and seasons have gone south. When you guys were 1-5, clearly Coach Odom did not lose the locker room. He had you guys, and you guys were able to turn the season around, and now you've won 5 in a row. But take me back to when you were 1-5 and what the locker room was like and the belief that you had not only in your coach and your coaching staff but in each other that you could turn the season around.
Yeah, it was definitely not a good feeling walking around being 1-5. But I think that feeling is what drove us. You got to be so sick with how it feels to be 1-5 that you got to do something different. You got to change. You got to come out and, you know, practice harder, prepare better to get to the point where, you know, you don't have that feeling in your stomach anymore. I think Coach Odom did a fantastic job of keeping us all together, preaching. Once our second season came, you know, he did a little burning of the first half. Literal burning in a cooler in one of our team meetings. All the notes from the first 6 games to where we were putting that in our past. We were going to go 1-0 every single week up until, you know, the end of the season, and that's where we are now.
Okay, so now we talk with Coach Odom about this this little bonfire he put on. He said that he didn't really plan it out as well as he should have. He said he didn't have any fire extinguishers in the area. And
no.
So tell me the scene. What was it like? Did you guys get a little nervous when this thing started to get out of control?
Yeah, it was, you know, he had a stack of papers up on the podium with him. We didn't see the cooler. But at the end of his speech, he's like, you know, guys, we've got to let it go. We got to really, if we're really going to do this, if we're really going to make it happen the second half of the season, we legitimately have to burn the first half of the season. And we're like, what is he talking about? Pulls the cooler out, brings the lighter fluid, makes AJ Logan pour the lighter fluid on it, and actually sets it on fire. And I got a text before the team meeting and told me to sit a couple rows back just in case anything happened. But no, he ended up shutting the cooler before the flames reached the ceiling and you know, killed it out.
Okay, so you get a text, like, you can't have the star quarterback, you know, getting caught up in the fire, but, like, who's sitting in the front 2 rows? Because those guys might want to be like, hey, wait a second.
It's the crazies. You got Beisel up there. You got Tyler Howell. And you got some characters up there that probably love that kind of stuff.
So like, were you guys, like, right off the bat, yeah, this motivates us, let's go? Or were you like, what the hell is going on up there? What's happening? What was your reaction?
It was a little bit of both, but I think it was a great message to us. I think he was sincere, and when he gives it, that's one thing about him is he's 100%. You feel it from him. It's never a bluff. It's never a fake attitude coming from him. He 100% lives and feels that we were going to come out and win the second half of the season, and I think that's what really drove us to actually make it happen.
All right, let's get specifically to the offense because, you know, in order to have 38 touchdown passes, it's got to be a whole team thing. You're obviously throwing the ball, but your offensive line's been terrific, receivers making plays, all that. What clicked? What clicked for the offense? I mean, even going back to the Kentucky game, you guys had a chance to win that game, and you only lost by 6 with the ball in your hands. That could have been a win, and you had a very good, productive first half against Georgia. What happened with the offense to make things click where you guys have been so good the past couple of months?
Yeah, I've thought about it. We've actually talked about that. I think it was the biggest thing for us on the offensive side of the ball was making sure that we were going to be 11 for 11 every single play. It wasn't 10 of us doing our job at the highest level. It wasn't 9 of us. There's 22 guys on the field, I've said it before, running around trying to rip each other's heads off. It's a crazy game. So if you're all 11 not on the same page, not knowing your job, then it's, you know, you're going to end up with a game where you score 3 points like the Purdue game. And I think having that sour feeling in our mouth was just something that we, as an offensive unit, we're just not going to let happen again.
All right, so I'm going to need your help here. Speaking of one of those teammates, you've got the SEC Freshman of the Week. Your tight end that scored 9 touchdowns. And so all the broadcast crews, they call him Albert O because nobody wants to mispronounce his name. My co-host Nate here is the play-by-play man for Sporting Kansas City. So I think he can handle names better. But I would like you to tell me how you pronounce Albert O's last name, please.
Albert Okwuegbunam.
Okwuegbunam.
Yep.
So that's
That just rolled off your tongue like it wasn't even a problem,
right,
Drew. That was. Do you have to practice that? Because that's not easy.
You know, we've actually talked about it because his locker is actually right across from mine. So we've actually become pretty close this season, which is really cool. And, you know, before he blew up and started catching all these touchdowns, I ended up asking him what his name, how to actually say his name. And, you know, he told me once, and I've never forgot it since.
Wow. As a quarterback, you better not forget it because
no.
that type of target, I mean, you tell me, looking back then, you see it looks like an offensive lineman rumbling down the field, and he showed breakaway speed. I mean, he is breaking out.
Yeah, he's a pretty easy guy to throw to, pretty attractive guy to throw to. You know, you see a guy run down the field with that kind of speed, at that size, like throwing, it's like you can't hit the broadside of a barn. Well, Albert is the barn, and it's pretty easy to hit.
We're visiting with Drew Locke, and Drew, I was looking at some quotes from earlier today from your head coach, and you know, he said today that he's talked with you and Terry Beckner about the future, you know, of possible NFL, you know, draft possibilities for you guys, and that, you know, those evaluations and conversations will continue, but you'll, you know, focus on this team right now. Look, I know your answer is going to be that you got to focus on the next game and you're just worried about your time at Missouri, but it has to be on your mind a little bit at least, right? Like, you know, how you're stacking up. This is a great quarterback class that's out there. You know, just tell me maybe what the thought process is like for you going through it right now.
Yeah, so I've always been the kind of guy to get really wrapped up in the certain situations I'm in right now, so I know you said my answer is focusing on Arkansas and whatnot, but that is really it. That's my main focus right now. There's a lot of great quarterbacks in this class right now, like you mentioned, to where I'm just going to wait to hear back from the NFL and see how everything plays out with that, and we'll go from there. There's a lot of talking that needs to go through. It's not just a real easy decision you can go and, you know, just make overnight. A lot of things need to be talked about, to where, you know, I feel like I would, in the end, make the best decision for myself, and whether that's leaving or whether that's staying here for my senior year.
All right, so I saw that you said that a Vanderbilt player stood over you after delivering a hit and told you he was going to be there all night, and then you had a response for him. So what happened there?
Yeah, I honestly couldn't believe it. I went and slid. Got hit as I was sliding. I went and watched it again and didn't realize the dude was standing right over the top of me like he was. But when I got up, he did mouth off and say that. And my response in return was just that it was going to be a long night for him if he's going to be there all night.
What's the best trash talk that any lineman's ever given you? Is there any has anybody ever actually said something to you in a game that actually, wow, that one stung a little bit, you know?
Oh gosh. You know, not that I can think of. I tend to not get wrapped up in all the talking that goes on because, you know, with my position, you got a million things running through your mind. What the next play call is, how I'm going to read it, what I call the offensive line, all the above. To where if you get wrapped up in the little things like that, you know, you kind of get caught off guard. I let the O-lineman, you know, kind of speak up for me.
Will you ever drink out of a water bottle that a fan throws on the field again?
No, because it definitely won't be what it was the first time.
So you learned your lesson on that one, right?
I learned my lesson. Okay. After thinking about it, after I did it, it was just one of those things. After you score, you kind of just, I don't know, you're kind of invincible when your team scores a touchdown, to where I just kind of went for it, but I will never be doing that again.
Okay, so just a couple more questions before we let you go, man. We appreciate your time. So I also saw that Eric Beisel will not be available for interviews for Arkansas Week, which is very disappointing for people like me. And he saw that and tweeted blasphemy. Anything you want to say on behalf of Eric Beisel during Arkansas Week?
I think Beisel definitely likes to have a little fun, but overall, he's one of the guys that spends the most time in the film room on this team, and I think he's just gonna be doing the same. He's going to keep his schedule the same this week. He's not going to let everything get out of hand. And I know, actually, for him, he's probably going to be a little thankful that he doesn't have to deal with everything after the outcome of what he said last year.
All right, let's hit Arkansas real quick. What do you see on film when you watch them in preparation for this game?
Yeah, they're a very physical defense. They fly around and make very competitive plays on the ball when the ball is in the air. The box that they have is phenomenal. It's going to be a battle of the trenches this week. I think the most physical team that comes to play is definitely going to win, though.
Okay, so let's give a shout out to Pops here because your dad listens to the show, and so
yeah.
Third Street Social in downtown Lee's Summit. Todd Lebo raves about it. If someone's going to go there and eat at your dad's restaurant, what's the best thing to get on the menu? I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, Third Street. All right, I always start with the chicken and waffles for an appetizer.
Mm. Oh my goodness,
that's 100% my go-to.
Mm.
And then if I'm really hungry, I'll do the triple social burger, which is just his main burger on the menu, but you got to get it triple. And, you know, you finish off with any of the desserts. I'm a big chocolate and peanut butter guy, so if there's anything chocolate and peanut butter on the dessert tray that day, that's what I go for.
Damn it, man. I think I got my plans for the weekend. I'm in on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, no, head on up. You won't be disappointed.
Hey, what's your so Thanksgiving week? What's your favorite Thanksgiving side dish, just in general?
Thanksgiving side dish.
Yeah.
I'm a huge mashed potatoes guy, but the one thing that I really look forward to is the cranberry with the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. Not a lot of people in my family like the cranberry, but you can get it, the Ocean Spray one out of the jar. You can make it homemade. I'm gonna take care of it.
Hey, Drew, we appreciate the time. Congratulations on having such a terrific season. And honestly, man, for all the Mizzou fans in general, but especially the Kansas City Mizzou fans, it's a big deal if you end up getting this record and representing not only Mizzou, but all the Mizzou fans in Kansas City that have been rooting you on for the past couple of years. So congrats and have a great game against Arkansas, man. And then we'll find out where you're going bowling. How's that sound?
That is the best thing I've heard all week right there.
All right, Drew. Hey, man, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
That is Drew Locke, who is leading the nation in touchdown passes and has a big game against Arkansas this Friday, 1:30 kickoff on CBS. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.